Church. All right, 1 John. We are continuing our series in 1 John, Koinonia, Fellowship. Nate stole a little bit of my thunder today because the title for today's sermon is Love from the Beginning. And in John chapter 13, the verses that Nate read, 13, 34 to 35, that is where the beginning of love or the command to love started. And it is in the context of Jesus on Maundy Thursday, the Thursday before the Passover, Jesus did something incredible, an act of love that no leader during that time period would do. And that was wash his disciples' feet. Now, I used to play soccer, and my feet were not good looking. You know, because I was a typical college, and you don't wash your feet. Who washes their feet? The water just rolls down on it. That cleans it enough, right? No, the foot doctor said, what? You don't ever wash your feet? No wonder you have nasty-looking feet that looks like you have leprosy. So, but there's ointments, and it works, and it gets all cleaned up. But this is the demonstration of Jesus' love for his disciples, that he washed their feet. And many of us, we know what Peter did. No, no, Lord, don't wash me. And Jesus says, if I don't wash you, then you don't have any part. And then good Peter's like, shoot, then don't just wash my feet. Wash my head, wash my shoulders, my arms, my hands, my body. Wash it all. And Jesus is like, oh, Peter, this is my interpretation. You're missing the point. But the act of love, the demonstration of love, and it's within that context, just after Judas has left to go do what he's going to do and eventually betray his Lord or his rabbi with a kiss, another act of love, Jesus gives this new beginning, this command to love one another as I have loved you. Because the world will know that you're my disciple because of this love. So 1 John chapter 3, our text is from 11 to 24, but I'm going to jump into verse 10. But here's your sermon note origami. The first thing you need to do is fold it in half vertically, okay? If you fold it in half horizontally, it's not going to work so well. So fold it in half vertically. In our text today, as I read through it, I always like what helps me remember and visualize the text because I'm kind of a visual learner. So I have two halves of a paper. At the very center, at the top, I'm going to say, love one another. So I don't have a pen up here, but I would write, oh, yes, I do. I'm going to write, love one another. And if you're a little OCD, then you're going to want to have an equal number of letters on one side of the page as you do on the other side of the page. And if you're not so OCD, then it's okay. But love one another. And then at the very bottom of the page, you're also going to want to write, believe in Jesus, love one another. Because what we'll notice from the text today is that John looks at what it means to be a child of God or a child of the devil, and he puts the love of one another at the top and the love of one another at the bottom. And then he looks at two examples. Obviously, we're going to be looking at the child of God, but he gives us the kind of comparison to the child of the devil. So that's it for origami today. I know it's basic. It's been a while since I've done it, so I didn't want to get too crazy with it. So 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to start reading at verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We pray now your Holy Spirit to continue to guide and direct us as we study your word and as we make notes, as we interact. May you, Lord God, cut our hearts to the quick. May we be encouraged by your word. May we be rebuked by your word. May we take your word to heart so that we, more, Lord God, may become more like you. Thank you, Lord God, for the provision of your word. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. So you have two columns. We're going to love one another at the top, and we're going to love Jesus, or believe in Jesus and love one another at the bottom. And as he looks at it, we have a child of God on the left and a child of the devil on the right. Or if you want to put, you know, vice versa, you can do that. What will happen as I go through the text, or as I went through the text, I just see here characteristics of a child of God, and either spoken or not spoken, here characteristics of a child of the devil. Obviously, as John is writing to these churches in Asia, he is dealing with a Gnostic heresy that's taking place. And that Gnostic heresy denies Jesus as the Christ, denies Jesus' physical body and spiritual body. And obviously, we looked last time that there was some issues with not only the Gnostics not believing in Jesus' humanity and deity being together at one, but there was also this idea that you can sin because the body is just evil matter and the spirit is good, so it doesn't matter what the body does. And so they're in a normal act of sin on the body, and they think it's okay. And John's like, no, it's not okay. And we saw that a little bit more last week with the address of sin. But now John is looking at characteristics of a child of God. And we notice in verse 11, the first characteristic is that this is the message we've heard. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. We see that there is the relationship with Cain is kind of like the archetype of the child of the devil. The child of God does right, the child of the devil does wrong. And that would make sense, especially if you're talking to a congregation that are living in sin and their response to sin is, my spirit is good and Jesus loves me and he doesn't care what my body does because it's evil anyway. And John's saying, the child of God does right. The child of God strives to do right. And we remember one of the harder texts that's like, oh, do we Do we not sin? The child of God doesn't sin. Yeah, the child of God sins, but praise God, through Jesus, we can confess our sins and are forgiven. Remember, we talked that the child of God does not live in habitual sin. The child of God may sin, you know, I made the reference once a month, once a week, once an hour, maybe every 30 seconds or, you know, something like that. We have an act of sin, but we quickly, through the Spirit, confess, repent, and move on again. But we are not, a characteristic of a child of God is not a habitual sinner. We see that the child of God does right, the child of the devil does wrong. In verse 10, we also notice anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. The child of God loves his brother. The child of the devil, really, they don't use the word love, they use the word hate. The child of the devil hates. John is going to remind them later that the world is going to hate you because of me. And that means that they hate Jesus too. The child of God does right, child of the devil does wrong. Child of God loves his brother. Love is expressed if we take it to Jesus so much that we're willing to wash one another's dirty, grimy feet because our love is so great. We also notice that in verse 12, we see that there the child of God is righteous and the child of the devil is evil. We know that we are made righteous by Christ's work on the cross. When we give our life over to his lordship, we are made righteous through him. And when God looks at us, he sees Christ's righteousness. The child of the devil is not righteous. Child of the devil is evil. John, throughout his work in the Gospel of John, as well as in these texts, looks at different comparisons and contrasts. And in this, the child of the devil has an archetype that is Cain. And then he's going to go right back and say the archetype of the child of God is Jesus. Let's take a look at Cain. What do we know about Cain? Genesis chapter 4. We know that Cain is a son of Adam and Eve. And what did Cain do? Killed his brother. And what are the famous words that even culture today that has zero to do with the Bible, what do they say? Am I my brother's keeper? That's the big thing, right? Am I my brother's keeper? It's really interesting as Cain is used in this context as the archetype of the child of the devil. Throughout Scripture, if you kind of want to look up Cain, you're going to see in John, 1 John chapter 3 that John says Cain's evil actions caused him to kill his brother. And then he says Abel was righteous, Cain was not righteous. His evil actions caused him to kill his brother. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we notice that Abel gave an offering in faith, where Cain gave out of an obligation or pride, or maybe even he gave the offering because he thought he was going to get something in return. So the way in which he gave the offering did not please God. What's kind of surprising now is Jude also, so we have three places where Cain is mentioned in Scripture. 1 John 3, Hebrews 11, 4, and in Jude. And in Jude, it's interesting because it's described as the way of Cain. And that can kind of go far, but as you read that next passage there in Jude, it's that it was, he rushed for profit. And so that kind of makes the commentators and me think maybe Cain was giving an offering to the Lord because he was expecting something in return and wasn't giving out of faith that God's going to provide. He was giving because, well, you're going to give me something back, right? But here we have the example of Cain. Cain murdered his brother, and it came about anger. It was anger fueled by religious practice. That's what caused him to kill his brother. Here, John is talking to a church that is having some disagreement with Gnostics. And wow, Cain is the archetype of the son of the devil. He killed his brother because their religious practice angered him. And he took him out and then tried to say, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he's at. And the Lord said, his blood is crying out from the sand. I know where he's at. I just want to see if you will confess. Nope, I'm just going to try and play ignorant and not. Cain, the archetype of the child of the devil. John goes back in his text now and compares that to Jesus in verse, this is how we know what love is in verse 16. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Cain took a life, Jesus gave up his life for us. This is what a child of God does. A child of God has life, specifically eternal life. As believers in Jesus, we look forward to, well, this will sound odd, but we look forward to not being here on earth, because when we know we're not here on earth, then we are in the presence of God. Christians should be the people who are not afraid of death. We know death only means being present with our Lord. But it also is a life here and now that is filled with the peace, love, and assurance that Jesus is walking with us, that Jesus left his Holy Spirit with us, that we can continue to live life and see the ups and the downs and the rough times and know that God is with us and we can still continue to move forward. If the child of God has life, the child of the devil, there's death. There's death and no hope for what is to come. We notice in Jesus' example that the child of God is sacrificial. We are willing to give things up. The text says we should be willing to give up our lives for our brothers. Now, we will all say, whoa, that's, you know, maybe kind of extreme, but we may know some who have given up their life for us, for our freedoms. The child of the devil is selfish. Now, as I went through this text, I realized, okay, I see sacrificial characteristic of the child of God in Scripture. I do not see here, John did not write that the child of the devil is selfish. So as I created my list, for me, I put them in parentheses. If selfishness wasn't in the text, I put it in parentheses. So I know that that's the opposite of sacrificial for me. Giving of oneself is a sacrifice. And I know that's in the text, so I wrote it down that way. But then when I put the opposite of that, which is selfish, I kind of put it in parentheses. So that way, as I go back through my notes every now and then, it's like, okay, I know why I did that. You can't find it exactly in the text, but the opposite of the child of God who is sacrificial, the child of the devil would be selfish. He would not be sacrificial. He would only want to do things, or she would only want to do things for herself. We notice, in addition to being sacrificial, in verse 17, John says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? A child of God has pity, has compassion, has empathy for others. The opposite that I have in parentheses for the child of the devil would be indifference. Yeah, they made their choice. They got to live with it. It's not my responsibility. Somebody else can take care of it. Let a program, let the government, let somebody else take care of their need. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Dear children, verse 18, let us not love with words or tongue, but let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. The child of God lives in the truth. The child of the devil lives in lies, because God's word says that the devil is the father of lies. John is definitely making a point about what it looks like to be the child of God and what characteristics the child of the devil are going to be. And the idea is that body of Christ, Christians in Asia, love one another, love one another. You're a child of God. I'm sure they're kind of wondering that. Well, you've got these, the Gnostics are saying this and John is saying this. How do we make sure, John, that we're in the right camp here? We want to be on the left side of the page for me, the way I wrote it, but we want to be in that right, the column that's child of God column, not the child of the devil column. And he said, you need to be, child of God is going to be in the truth. His word is truth. We notice verse, continuing on, verse 19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Do any of you have number 20 right there between presence? In your scripture, verse 19 says, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. I always end up stopping because the number's there, but it doesn't finish the sentence. And I need to finish that sentence. It catches me. The child of God has a heart of rest. It's peace. The Jewish term was shalom. Peace throughout the whole person, peace between them and God, peace between them and others. John uses, it's a heart of peace, a heart at rest. The child of the devil generally is filled with turmoil, going to the next thing, wondering what's going to happen. What do I do? What do I do? How do I make it happen? One issue to the next issue. Whereas the child of God has a heart of rest. They are secure. They know that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that, as the psalmist said, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death because God is with me. He's before me. He's behind me. He's on my left. He's on my right. Continuing, we see whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater, verse 20, after the break, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. We know that we have salvation in Jesus. And here's one where salvation is in parentheses because John doesn't speak about it, but he does speak about the condemnation that comes from the child of the devil. Our hearts can condemn us. The devil wants you to feel condemned. We know that Jesus judges us, and through his work, we are made righteous with God, but devil doesn't want you to keep remembering that. He just wants you to focus on the condemnation that comes and you feel bad and you feel unworthy and you feel unholy and you feel worthless because the condemnation there keeps you where he wants you, on the child of the devil column. But Jesus offers salvation. When we believe in Christ, we are made righteous in God's sight. We notice there that there's also the child of God has confidence. The child of the devil, parenthetically, the opposite of confidence for me was uncertainty. doesn't know what's going to happen. We notice that the child of God obeys. The child of God is obedient. Maybe not all of the time, but boy, do we strive to be obedient to what God has called us to do. That is our focus. That is our goal. We want to obey our loving Father, our loving Lord, because we love Him. We know that He loves us. We want to do what He asks us to do. And then we also see there in verse 23, and this is the command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. The child of God believes in Jesus. The child of the devil denies Jesus. And we see that more and more, especially in today's society. It's becoming culturally okay and relevant to say Jesus isn't all that. Jesus isn't the Savior. Jesus, one of many ways to God. It's an outright lie of Satan to say, just to deny Jesus. And John says, no, the child of God believes in Jesus, gives their life to Jesus. And then John ends with the last kind of characteristic of a child of God is that we know it by the Spirit that lives in us. The child of God has the Holy Spirit living in them. John, addressing the church, wants to make sure in verses 11 through 18 that the congregation is reassured that they are in the child of God side. We know that because he uses a phrase three times, how we know, in verse 16, 19, and 24. How we know what love is, it's Jesus. Jesus is how we know what love is. We need to emulate him. How we know that we belong to the truth. How do we know that we belong to the truth? This is a recap of verses 11 through 18. We know we belong to the truth because we love, because the world hates us, because we are willing to lay our life down for our brothers or others. We know that we belong to the truth because we give to those in need. We have pity and compassion. And we know that we belong to the truth because we have peace in our heart. That only comes through Christ's indwelling Spirit in us. John is loving a church that has other members who are now following a Gnostic way. We notice in the previous passage that these were part of their family and are now causing a rift because they want to do unmentionable things because matter is evil and the Spirit is good. And it's kind of causing havoc in the church. And John is reassuring his readers they are following the truth of the gospel as a child of God. And then in verse 24, we know how we know that he lives in us because he says God's Spirit is in us. That is going to be for next week, describing how God's Spirit is in us. Church, are you a child of God? John 5:24. If you're not a child of God, John 5:24, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let's talk. I'd love to introduce him to you. You just confess your sins, believe who he said he is as God's Son, raised to new life at the resurrection, and confess and you will be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity for many of us to be reassured that we are a child of God. And Lord, we also take up as well the act of obedience that we have to respond in love to those things that you've commanded us to do. Lord, I just lift up those who are here who are maybe wrestling with the question on where they fall. Are they a child of God or are they a child of devil? Lord, I pray your Spirit would guide them into truth of your word, that your Spirit would guide them into surrendering their lives to you. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit and his continued guidance as we go through his word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.